We're on our series, Drop the Stone. We might have one more Drop the Stone next week, and then I'm going to wrap it up. All right? Has anybody dropped the stone finally? I'm really persistent here. Does anybody still got your stone? It's time to drop the stone. We got to drop the stone. Has anybody been helped by this series at all? Thank you, Stephen. You're the best. Isn't Stephen the best? Drop the stone. This series has been fun. I've enjoyed it. I'll tell you honestly, when you preach a sermon, it cuts me first. So if it's affected you in certain ways, trust me, it affected me first. And there's been things that the word is has no handle on it. You can't like take the word like a handle and try to wield it. I tell you, you grab that thing and it'll cut you deeply. But in a good way. In a good way. And I'm so grateful for what the Lord has done in and through this series. And I really do believe he's preparing our hearts for an incredible harvest. I really do. I really do. Did you know I was reading the other day that over 1 million people in the last few years, 1 million people have come to Jesus in Iran. And so I thought, I heard the person say this. I said, what? So I started Googling, I started checking it out, did all kinds of research, and sure enough, on all these mission platforms, it says that is true, and it's aggressive right now, the growth of the church in Iran. And you know, you get thrown in jail for doing church and for turning into moving towards Christianity, and it's very, very hard. They've thrown a lot of pastors in jail, but the thing is, they took the men, threw them in jail, but they left their wives at home, and the wives have become just rabid beasts as pastors. And these women are just hardcore proclaiming the gospel, and these women are building the churches faster than their husbands did. And because of their cultural disrespect for women, they say, they can't do nothing. But these women are crushing it, and they're discipling people in a big, big way. Now, another interesting fact. Yeah. And I'm not here to beat up any other faiths or any other thing. I just know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. I know that. So I'm not here to beat up any other faiths or say blah, blah, blah. But I do know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You know, so Christianity is loving, but it's also very intolerant because the gate is pretty narrow. It's Jesus. That's it. There's no other way. There's no other name under heaven by which man can be saved. Jesus is Lord of all. So I'm going to say this, and I'm not trying to beat anybody up or gloat. I'm just saying this. In Iran, over 50,000 mosques have closed. 50,000. There's just nobody going anymore. And I'll tell you, Iran is being saved one person at a time. And you might hear on the news that Iran is this great ugly thing, but inside of Iran, God is moving on people's hearts. God is moving on people's lives. And you know, the enemy might be trying to make the Middle East blow up, but there's another person at work in the Middle East. And it's Jesus. And we speak Jesus to Iran. We bless the church in Iran. We bless them, protect them, accelerate them. We pray for signs, wonders, and miracles, unspeakable demonstrations of God's goodness and grace that'll shift that nation and change it all. We won't have bullets anymore. It'll just be love, love, and more love. Can I get an amen? All right, so we're going to finish up today's sermon. That's what we're going to do. Mother Teresa, God bless her. Mother Teresa, the only thing that bothered me about Mother Teresa was when she bought buildings that had many, many floors, she dismantled the elevators. Said, we can use the stairs. I thought that was a bit extreme, don't you? Because I don't mind a good elevator. I mean, sometimes I want a little bit of a lift just to get up to the platform. That's like 3 steps there. Hey, she said, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. And it's true. You know, as I said, I tell you, there might be a year where I literally just stand up and say, you know, as he has loved you, love others. And if we literally would be baptized in that verse, we could change the world. First of all, get an incredible revelation of how much God loves you. Because if you don't know that, you don't have anything to give away. But if you understand the depth of his love, and that's what the Apostle Paul prayed for, I pray that you would get a deep revelation of the depth, the width, the height. You don't need doctrine and information. You need the personal revelation of the Father who loves you deeply. Boy, when you got that, you can conquer anything. Amen? Because love conquers all. Love conquers all. Love conquers all. So we gotta love, you know, and you can't love people if you're judging them. So last week we started and we're in this beautiful chapter, Luke chapter 15. I love this chapter. This is the gospel in the gospel. This is probably the most beautiful story that Jesus ever told. And don't you love that Jesus told stories? But Jesus, when he told the story, here's why he told the story. Luke 15, 1 to 3, it says, and all, say all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. Isn't that good? I mean, all, everybody, where's Jesus? I want to hear him again. They so love to sit under his ministry and hear him talk and hear him share the good news about a loving father. They would sit for hours. They literally followed him for 3 days into the wilderness until they were so far from McDonald's, they had no food. He had to do a miracle and take a little kid's lunch and feed 25,000 people. I know you said it was 5,000, but wherever there's 5,000 men, there's 10,000 women and a whole bunch of kids. Thank you very much. All right. The sinners, they all drew near, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners. He eats with them. So everybody say so.
So.
Everybody say so.
So.
Everybody say so.
So.
Sounds good. Pass the buckets again. Everybody wants a so. Not that kind of so. So he spoke this parable. So Jesus told this parable and he spoke it because he heard all the complaints of the religious people. So first thing he did is he talked about the lost sheep, and we sang that song today that he leaves the 99 to find the one. I mean, sometimes you go, one missing, no big deal. We got 99, a couple of them are pregnant. It's all good. One got lost, you know, keeps running away anyway, stupid sheep. No, you see, he'll leave the 99. He'll go after the one. He finds it, puts it around his neck, brings it home. It says, and what happens? What happens when you bring it home? What happens? There's a party. Woo! Then there's a woman. She got 10 coins. She loses one. So she just tears the whole house apart, rips out the carpet, takes everything apart. She just scours the whole place until she finds it. She's not going to rest until she finds it. And then when she finds it, she calls all the neighbors, everybody come, I found the lost coin, and they had a
party.
Woo! Amen. So you got the lost sheep, and then the lost coin, and then the lost son. Luke 15, 11, it says, the lost son, it says, the younger son said to his father, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. And he divided it to them. He divided his livelihood to his two kids. Now, culturally, he's saying, Dad, you're dead to me, because I usually got to wait till you die to get this. But you know what? I'd rather have what I get when you die now. So I really want to no longer have to live out of a relationship with you. I want the stuff now. I want to do what I want. And it wasn't that he was already blessed or already had stuff, because he did. He lived in a very wealthy home, and he had all the stuff he wanted. He just didn't want to have to do everything in a relationship with him anymore. And so he was a lost son. He went, he moved on. After many days, he didn't do it right away, but after many days, the younger son gathered together, he journeyed to a far place, and he wasted his possessions on prodigal living. And that's prodigal living, is a waster. So this chapter is the gospel in the gospel. This is something you should soak in. This is something that should be the deepest revelation of the goodness of God for you. We can trust what these stories represent because they come from the only one who comes from the Father. These stories are told by Jesus, and he's the only one who really understands the heart of the Father. All the people who wrote in the Old Testament, all those scribes, all those people who wrote stuff down, they were trying to comprehend. They were trying to represent God. And it says in Hebrews 1 that in the past, people tried to show us who the Father was, but I decided to tell you myself. I decided to make it very clear to you. I have spoken absolutely clearly through my Son. He is the exact representation of the Father. Everything else, it's troublesome. There's some good stuff there, but Jesus is pure doctrine. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So if you see anything that is not Jesus, then you got to put it through the filter of Jesus, and you got to make sure that whatever Jesus did, whatever he said, whatever he expressed, that's your paramount thoughts about God. And what you think about God is the most important thing about you. It shapes everything you do. So Jesus showed us God. Here it said he was still, he loses everything. You know, he got subject to that stranger in another country. He got thrown into a pig pen. He's eating the pig slop. And then he came to his senses and he said, you know what? The servants at my dad's house get better off than I am right now, way better off. So you know what? I'm going to crawl back to my home and I'm going to see if my dad might just hire me to be one of the servants. Could I be a helper on the team that's putting the posts in the field? I just, whatever you need, just could you hire me? Dad, I know I'm a total loser. I know I broke your heart, but could I just work with that group out there that's shoveling the muck? Because even shoveling muck in your house is way better than what I'm experiencing. So he went home thinking I'm going to be a slave. He went home, but his father saw him, and his father had been looking for him, and his father saw him a long ways off. His father ran all the way out of town. His father fell on the neck of his son. He kissed him, and he grabbed him, and he covered him up, and he brought him home. And all the people were like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing that. Because in their place, if a son did that to his father and tried to come back to town, people would have thrown stuff at him. They would have called him stuff. They would have spit at him. But what he did was he says, you know what, I'm going to go, before anybody even sees this, I'm going to go cover my son. I'm going to go cover this lost child, and I'm going to bring him back. I'm going to make sure that he experiences no shame, no pain. You don't have to wallow to come back to me, son. You come back, and I'm happy to receive you. And he embraced his child, and he brought him in. And his son had rehearsed a lovely little prayer. Oh, Father, I've been such a loser. But you know, his father says, shh, 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 shh. I'm not even listening. Still a great way off, his father ran, had compassion, fell on his neck, and he kissed him over and over again. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. His father said, shush. His father said, stop it, nonsense. He said, bring out the best robe. The best robe. I mean, the best robe. How many have some good clothes and just some average clothes, some hang-around clothes? His father told his servants, the best robe in the house. Don't just cover my son a little bit. Don't just, you know, get rid of this stinky pig smell a little bit. Get the best robe and put it on my son. Isn't that good? Hey, somebody feel that a little bit? Anybody feel that just a little bit? The best robe. The best robe. Put a ring. Come on. Put that ring, that signet ring on his hand. Put sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf. Let's kill it. Boom. Right there. He got righteousness, worth, and sonship completely restored to him. And he didn't have to do a thing except what? Come on home. Come on home. There's all kinds of people out there broken and hurting. And in Jesus' surrounding, he came and he didn't go to the synagogues. Although when he did, he usually got kicked out. But he's preaching in fields. He's preaching wherever he can. And all the city, he's going to tax collectors' home. He's going to broken homes and he's pouring out the very best of the Father. And the Pharisees and Sadducees are saying, this is wrong. These people don't deserve this. These people are going to suffer. They're evil. But Jesus said, come. And this guy came home, and his father absolutely received him and absolutely restored him. My son was dead, but he's alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. And what do they do? Whenever you find stuff, you have a party. Thank you. There's four people still listening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's go. Let's go. You gotta be right. Let's go. Some new stuff. Now, his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he said, oh, we must be having special guests. I'm going to quickly get changed and take my place before my father, and I'm going to welcome these people and honor them. I'm going to serve these precious people, because that's what the oldest son did. The oldest son came, aligned himself with his father, and whatever his father did, he stood behind him and said, I am my father's son, and he manifests the same hope, the open heart, and all that. And that was what a son did in those days. But this son came back and heard the music and the dancing, and he called one of the servants and said, what is going on? What's all this noise? And he said to him, your brother came home. My brother? Yes! I know dad's been waiting. He was brokenhearted. Oh, that's so... No, he didn't. So because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. Now, the fatted calf is a calf that you keep. It is set apart. It is raised specifically for a wonderful feast. And you keep that calf and you keep it in a stall so it doesn't move much, so it doesn't get tough, doesn't move around much. You just feed it milk. So when you kill it, it's good stuff. So that's just, everybody knows that's the fatted calf. And I tell you, when something important happens, one of these days we're going to kill the fatted calf. Everybody knows. Everybody, that's the fatted calf. I'm going to take the fatted calf for a walk. No, that's the fatted calf. We're just going to make that fat. We're going to just bless that. It's just going to sit there in the stall and go... Everybody knows the fatted calf. So the fatted calf? Are you kidding me? My wretched brother comes home. My dad killed the fatted calf. So he was angry and he would not go in. Therefore, his father came out. Isn't that good? God's even going to pursue religious ugly people too. I mean, if you're outside thinking they don't deserve it, well, God's going to come into your little world and he's going to help you with your bigotry. And he's going to help you with your attitude. No matter where you are, God is going to find you and he's going to align you with his heart. Isn't that good? Amen. This is what the whole story is about. All the other stuff was said, but this is what Jesus is talking about. And the Pharisees, when they're listening, are going, oh, here we go. And they knew he was talking about them. And he knew that they were saying, you guys, in this story that I'm telling, this beautiful story, he says, you are the older brother. And they knew it. They're like, ugh. But he said, the father came out. Isn't that beautiful, though? The father came out and he pleaded with him. He leaves the party for his son. He's pursuing this lost, poor religious son. He says, so he answered and said to his father, lo, say lo, 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 these many years I've been serving you. I have never transgressed. Never. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me even a young goat. I mean, you're giving him the fatted calf, and he's been a loser. He took his life, his inheritance, he squandered it, and he comes back smelling like pig. And look what you do. He's like, I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and you never gave me even a goat that I might make merry with my friends. The NIV says, look, here it says, look, look here, you look here. I just can't imagine talking to your dad like that. That's awful, eh? What are you doing out here, son? Come on, your brother's home. Your brother's home. And he's angry, just spitting darts. I've been serving you. I've never, ever once broken one of your commands. And you would never even give me a goat to throw a party with my friends. But this, the fatted calf. Look, all these years I've been slaving, say slave. That's really weird when you think that your service to the Father is slaving and you think your service to the Father is duty. How many are here today on Sunday morning because it's Sunday and you're supposed to go to church? Don't put your hand up. Stephen, was that it? You were just checking your glasses, huh? I couldn't wait to get to church. Not because it's a duty, but because it's the Father's house. And I was like, man, where would you rather be? And this is so good. This isn't like, oh, it's Sunday, you gotta go to church. Well, maybe you need to take a break. Did pastor say take a break? Take a break from that weird attitude, you know, because, I mean, we should all be here because we're madly in love. We so understand how grateful we are. I understand I'd be nothing today without his goodness and his love. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Look! You never did nothing for him. He despises his brother, insults his father. He says, I've earned it. He should earn it. And what did the other brother, the first brother said, can I go home and be a slave? And this brother stayed home and he was a slave. Pharisees and scribes had the wrong approach to repentance. They said, you got to clean up your act to come to a holy God. But Jesus had good news. His news was the Father accepts you as you are. He accepts you. He loves you. It's not about you pursuing him. He's been pursuing you. You've never lived an unloved moment. God loves you, and he'll never stop loving you. And the good news is he loves you so much, he sent me. And I'm here to restore you to your heavenly Father. It's such a good story. I love this story. So Jesus had good news. The Father accepts you. But sadly, there's all kinds of people who think that if I'm going to get back to church, I better clean my act up. You know, I can't come right now, Pastor. I'm still working out some stuff. Then you tell people you should get baptized. Well, I'm not holy enough to be baptized. I went, actually, the holiness you need, you could never achieve. The holiness you need is his holiness, and it's a gift. It's not something you earn. It's something he gives you graciously. Isn't that good news? I think that's good news. So the Father wants to bring a big transition here. So he said to his son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. Let me read that again. You've always been with me, and everything I have is yours. Your son was lost, and he's found. And you know, we should be throwing a party. You should be inside. He was lost, and now he's found. And you're out here. You're the only one not having a good time. You need to be inside. Now, story comes to an abrupt ending right there. Right there, it stops. Stops. Have you ever watched a movie and it stopped at a weird spot, and then you're just like, what was that? Like, that was stupid. I mean, what happened? Like, just at the weirdest spot, all of a sudden, the end. And you're like, you didn't resolve anything. You left me like hanging like this. I don't mind a cliffhanger, but finish the stupid story. And here we are, just boom, a fantastic story just stops. I mean, did he come inside? Did he convince him? Come on inside. I mean, did he reject his father? What happened? I mean, what? Who wants to know what happened? Who wants to know? Three people. All right. Well, the sad thing is we do know. We do know the outcome. Here's the outcome. John 8, chapter 40 and verse 44. But now you seek to kill me. John 8 is where we started this whole series. Remember the woman who got caught in adultery and brought there to his feet? You know, and the same story, same chapter. And here they are. She gets brought to the feet and they say, you know, we should stone her. And he said, well, you who are perfect, you know, cast the first stone, you know. So he didn't say, no, let's not do it. He said, sure, let's get her done. All right, the person without sin, you throw the first stone. And of course, nobody could. The only person who could was Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. Go and be free. Go and walk in freedom. But here we are at the end of that chapter. Jesus annoyed them so much that he said, now you seek to kill me, and you are of your father, the devil. You are of your... And they just lost it right there. They said, we're children of Abraham. He says, you might have a DNA of Abraham, but you don't have the heart of your father. You have nothing to do with Father God. He said, your father is the devil, and the desires of your father is what you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. Isn't Jesus trying to make friends and influence people? Huh? So you know, these people are of the devil. Do you know people that do evil, nasty stuff? They are slaves to sin, and they are objects of the devil. They are slaves to the devil. The devil is their father. They are controlled. They're controlled by the prince of darkness. They really are. Why do sinners sin? Because they are captive to the enemy. I wish sinners would stop sinning. Well, tell them about Jesus. No, I want to tell them how evil they are. Well, you're missing the point. They can't help themselves. When you're a slave to sin, you sin. When the prince of darkness is your father, that's what moves in you. And you still feel, why am I doing this? But you're compelled to move in brokenness and ignorance. And every day you wake up, and through you, the father of lies is causing strife everywhere you go. How can you be mad at someone who's brutally helpless? How can you be mad at someone who's under the sway and the power, the prince of the power of the air? Here's what you should be mad about. We who have the power to bring deliverance to them don't care. Those people believe in this. Oh, they're evil. I just wish God would throw them off the face of the earth. That's rubbish. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called to fight with people. We're called to share the good news of the gospel with them and get them delivered from the mindset that's corrupting their whole life. Hello? Drop the stone. But now you seek to kill me because your father is the devil. Luke 23, 34. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, he prayed over and over, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, here's what you do when someone who, what did Jesus say? There's a spirit of murder on you and you want to murder me. There's a spirit of murder on you because the genetics, what's working in you, you're slaves to sin and your father is Beelzebub himself and you are being forced to do this because of what's working in your life. And how can I change that? How can I change the hatred? How can I change the people that are spitting at me and shouting at me? How can I change this whole environment? How can I do it? Father! Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Over and over again. Boom. 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 Stinking people. Can't stand people who don't agree with me. They don't have the same worldview I do. They're so nasty. No, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Settle down. Titus chapter 3. He sends Titus. Titus, a real guy. And this is Paul writing a letter to Titus, a real guy. He says, I'm sending you to Crete. And he says, in Crete, these people are lazy, they're sluggards, they're evil gluttons. So I'm going to send you to an island where these people are just evil. Titus, these people are evil. You know, so, but here's what he says. He gives them this advice. It wasn't that long ago that we behaved foolishly too, stubborn and disobedient. We were easily led astray, slaves to worldly passions and pleasures. We wasted our lives doing evil, and we were hateful and in jealousy, and we hated others. He says, don't forget, Titus, if you're walking in liberty and freedom today, it's because of the good news of Jesus Christ. You're going to run into some very obtuse and nasty people out there, but don't say, yeah, don't judge them, yell at them, tell you're sinners, you're wretched, you're this. No, these are objects of your love. These are objects of your affection. These are people that I have called you to go and to minister to and bring them the good news of Jesus Christ. Quit picking on their failures and tell them that there's a God who's redeemed you. But you see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious people in our culture, we think it's our job to point out all the faults in our culture. We're the church, and we're here to tell you, we disagree with you, you're evil, your philosophy of life, you know, the way you look at marriage or the way you look at this, or, you know, we got so many things going on. We got, somebody talked to me today about, went to the doctor, and the doctor said, what's your pronouns? And she said, what? There's a lot of funny stuff out there. But you know what, all in all of that funny stuff, you know what there are? There's people that you're called to love. And all that funny stuff, there's people. You know why they think that way? Because they're slaves to sin. Do you know why they think that way? Because the devil is working every day to mess up their world. And you know, we're not called to do that. We're called to bring freedom. We're called to bring liberty. We're not called to judge. We're called to love. Is anybody hearing me just a little bit? Pastor, there should be consequences, though. Like, some people are just that evil. Oh, like, more evil than you. Like, some people have just crossed the line, they're a little bit more evil, you know? How many can think about some real evil stuff right now? Those people, God should just lightning bolt that and deal with it. You know how God looks at every person? He doesn't have a scale of evil. He says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But to every single person, there's a beautiful gift. It's called salvation. To anyone who believes, whosoever. You know, so you're not here to put a scale on who's redeemable and who isn't. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I think, church, we got to get delivered from judgment. We got to get delivered from stone throwing. Because I know it's tough. I know it's hard because you're thinking, pastor's gone too far. I'm telling you, sin has its own consequences. It really does. But you know, here's the thing. Whoever it is that you think is doing the most evil stuff ever, let me tell you this. They're in a struggle for their lives. And they are right now doing evil stuff because the enemy has possessed them and is causing all manner of evil to be done in and through their lives. Do you know, there was a book written on grace. I'm trying to remember his name now. But a pastor wrote a book on grace, and he was in the middle of reading it, or writing the book, and one of his friends called, and he says, I'm a chaplain at a maximum security prison. And he says, what's amazing is Jeffrey Dahmer is here. They've asked me to go see him. And Jeffrey Dahmer's accepted Jesus. And, you know, he said, he said, inside of him, he said, no, I do not want to go to heaven with Jeffrey Dahmer. And then he called him back later, and he says, I had the privilege of baptizing Jeffrey Dahmer today. And he said, God touched my heart, and I went, oh my goodness. Somehow I thought that he was a greater sinner than me. And you know what I love about the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul said, to me, who is the worst of sinners. If you think that God got a deal when he got you because you're pretty good, God got me, I wasn't too far gone, I'm pretty awesome. Not like those people. We got to stop it. We got to stop it. We got to stop it. Titus, we've behaved foolishly too. Don't forget, when you go out there and you're ministering to the world, you're going to see some stuff. But don't forget, thank God that I've been redeemed too. Thank God that he saved a wretch like me. Ephesians 2:1-2, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So think of the very worst person you can think of, you think is unredeemable, and they should be punished. See, that's what the older brother wanted. The older brother wanted him to pay. He has to pay. I have earned, and I'm getting nothing. He is going to come here and get it for nothing. I have worked and slaved for you, and you're throwing him a party with the fatted calf. No! He should have earned this. He should be punished. There should be some recourse here. This is wrong. You're a poor father. And some of us think our father and his grace and love, oh, come on. You know what? He'll love anybody, and he has already forgiven everybody. Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. Obeying the devil, because you are the spirit. What works in their hearts? What's working in their hearts? An evil person. What's working in their hearts? What's working in their hearts is the spirit of the devil working. Ephesians 2:8, God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's the gift of God. Acts 5:31, God exalted him to the right hand as his prince and savior and deliverer to grant, repent, say grant. That means to give. You were given repentance. Repentance isn't something you do, it's a gift you receive. And to grant you forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't something you earn, it's something you receive. He did that. God exalted Jesus so that repentance is your gift and forgiveness is your gift. Luke 19:10, today salvation has come to his house. This was the tax collector, the chief tax collector. Jesus goes to his house and Jesus forgives him. He says, because he also is the son of Abraham. He is the son of man, has come to seek and save that which is lost. And then they lost it and couldn't believe that they called this guy a son of Abraham. Let me read this for you right here, please. This is really important. You ready? Go back one more slide. Go back. Nope, back. There it is. You see the bottom line? You can't screen or edit the guest list. When God invites somebody in, you don't get to say, not them. No. They're going to come. The Spirit of God's working on all those people. And you're going to see people come in here and sit beside you, and you're going to go, oh, come on. Somebody should edit the guest list here. Does the pastor know? Do you know? Who do you think you are that you think you get to screen who he loves? Or you get to edit who's on the guest list? Was that a bit strong? Was that a bit up front? This is a whole series, drop the stone. You know, I think we think that we've got a right to screen who gets in and who doesn't. You don't. I don't. And you know what? These people are broken, hurt, and slaves to darkness. The enemy has them under their sway. There are people that are being tormented who need to be set free. And we have the power to break every chain in their lives and set them free. We shouldn't be complaining about it. We should be praying about it and cursing everything going on. All right, I'm done. I am done. I absolutely am done. I got a picture here of Jennifer Mitchell. She pastors Lighthouse Church in Stony Plain. I had Sammy Robinson. I had breakfast with him on Monday. He was visiting in town. Called me, hey, can we meet up? And I met him. And I said, where's my friend Archie? He pastored Lighthouse in Stony Plain. He says, Archie has stepped down and a woman has taken over the church. And I love Archie because Archie looks just like my Uncle Paul. Just like my Uncle Paul. So I said, what happened to Archie? So he's telling me about Archie. He said, but you know, this gal right here, Jennifer Mitchell comes from Uganda. And Jennifer Mitchell was stolen from her family when she was a child. And Joseph Kony took her and turned her into a child soldier and trained her to be a ruthless murderer. That little girl right there. She was trapped and enslaved by a madman. And the madman was trapped and enslaved by another madman. You know what we're called to do? We're called to enforce victory on the madman. Not Joseph Kony, but the devil. We're called to put our foot down on every place where he's got people captive. And you see, this beautiful girl who was held captive, is it okay? Is it okay that someone who ruthlessly macheted people and shot people, is it okay that she became the pastor of my friend Archie's church? Yes, it's okay. They can't find Joseph Kony. But you know, Joseph Kony, you know what he needs? He needs a good whipping. I wish somebody would take a machine gun. You know what? He needs Jesus. just like Jeffrey Dahmer did, just like every broken person out there. You know what they need from you? Not some smug nonsense. They need the love of God. And you are empowered. You are not empowered to condemn. You are not empowered to throw stones. You're not empowered to say, you know what you are? You're just evil. You're not called to do that. You are called to walk into brokenness and say, Jesus loves you. Thank you for the crouching ovation. That's that. One more slide. You ready? One, and this is it. This is it. And at the back, it's saying trap door will open. You're about to be ejected into the netherworld. Service is over. Just this right here. I'm asking you a question. Are you grace a lot or are you grace alone? Are you grace a lot or are you grace alone? What's the difference? Well, I'm grace a lot, Pastor. Like, I think God's grace goes a long way in certain situations. But somewhere, don't we have to be truth? Like, don't we have to, like, doesn't there come a point where, you know, grace is too much? Like, I'm grace a lot. I'm grace alone. I am grace alone. Nothing else can deal with the brokenness in this world except the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. By grace, you are saved when you believe. Not of works, because you can't boast. And that same grace is going to save people in London, and we're going to see a revival in this city because we get it. We're not here to throw stones. We're here to open our hands, open our hearts, and say, Jesus loves you.